Here we go.
Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Good evening, gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of, you know, hosted by the head of household, sponsored by www.householdstress.com. I'm your host for tonight, P-Town, or head of household, whichever one you want to call me. Or you can just call me by my regular name, Patrice. That's fine with me. But we come to you again tonight to get to have a great discussion of men getting on the phone and talking about relationships and marriage. And tonight's topic, can love, marriage, last once the trust is gone? Can love or marriage last once the trust is gone? We all have gone through some things, some good, some bad, some ugly, in our relationships and in our marriage. And the degree of trust we have for one another is essential to the way we live, the way we communicate, and the secrets that we share, and the ones that we don't. There are some people, some that we may even know ourselves, that never learn to trust anyone, not even themselves. Can you believe that? Don't even trust yourself. While there is those who trust others with all of their hearts, souls, and won't even think second about it, won't even give it second thoughts. So in our topic tonight of can love or marriage last once the trust is gone, I want to break it down to those two, you know, because there's a lot of things that when you talk about trust, it can go all over from people at work, your friends, but I want to narrow it down to just love and marriage. So first thing we're going to talk about is love and trust, and then we're going to talk about marriage and trust. So here's the question for everybody. Can you love someone and not trust them at all?
No.
Yes.
Ooh, we got a no and we got a yes. All right,
yes.
Let's go with the yes first, and then we go to the no. Who said yes?
I said yes.
I said yes too.
I said yes.
All right, keep it going. Explain why.
Because I got a family member. I love him, but I don't trust him. I mean, it is what it is.
I already know
that there's gonna be a letdown somewhere close by.
But the key word was he said at all. Now, you can't trust that family member at all?
At all.
Wow.
At all.
But you still love.
Not even with a secret.
Mm. Wow.
But isn't that tough, though? I mean, when it's your family member or your spouse, isn't it very hard to separate your emotions and your love and likes with just trust?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're saying you can't trust them at all. How you separate that? Hey, this is my family member. I love them as a family member. But I won't do anything for them. Because I know at the end of the day.
Well, it's not, see... The love part comes into play when, I mean, you can't say you won't do anything for them because that's not a true statement. I will, you know, but I don't trust you as far as I can see you. But I will help you just because that's what I have to do. You see what I'm saying? So the love is there, but there's just no trust.
I've heard that before. I don't trust you farther than I can see you.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, somebody said yes. Who said yes?
I did.
Explain, please.
I mean, it's kind of along the same lines. I mean, but to some degree, if you really think about the the in-depth reason of why you really can't trust him is because you actually do trust him. You trust him to not be who you trust him to not follow through and do what they say they're going to do. You know, eventually, I mean, it's one of these things where I put it like this. I can love you to death, but, you know, I trust you to be you. That's pretty much it. And after you ask the question of how are you able to do both, it's essentially through trial and error and experience. After a while, you start to feel people out and you recognize who they are and what they're going to bring to the table, how they're going to handle things, how they're going to respond, how they're going to react. And you can either choose to still love them and roll with them, or you can put them to the curb and move on to the next person and other friendships, relationships, whatever it may be. But if you decide to be there in it, then you trust them to be who they are. Once they show you who they are, that's who they are, especially if they've done it consistently. So that's the crazy part about it. You don't trust them, but you really do trust them. You trust them to do what you've seen them do. You know, so
you trust them not to do the right thing.
Pretty much. I mean, and you know that. I mean, you know that. I mean, you love them because, I mean, here's the thing. It's like, as I said a long time ago, I got some friends right now that I could dial up. I know they ain't doing things right, but they would be there for me in the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Now, hey.
So you can trust them to be, you know, be there for you, but you can't trust them to.
I can't trust them to ride in the car and not know that they might not have something on them. Now, that's what I'm talking about. But if something were to jump off or something were to happen or if I was in a bind, I could trust them to be like, hey, P, I got you. And that's the truth. I mean, but that's why that's that thin line between, you know, trusting them and loving them. Yeah, I love them, but I love you also good enough to know that you're not going to ride in my whip. I mean, I got too much stuff now that, you know, requires my attention. I need to be on site. I can't be headed upstate or doing something like that.
Like, I'll meet you over there. Where are we going? I'll meet you there.
Right, right.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to pat them down before you get in the car. Listen,
even with that, I mean, you just want to make sure that essentially. I mean, but that's kind of what I'm saying is, like, you can trust them and you can love. I mean, you trust them to be who they are. That's just it. I mean, but you still love them, and you appreciate what they bring to the table. But you just have to recognize that this is who this person is. That's
yeah, but it. I think the key two words of the question was at all, and I just can't see if you can't trust somebody at all. I mean, to me, it'd be hard to love somebody like that.
Hmm. But, I mean, we get in marriages knowing that sometimes.
No, I mean, when you say at all, that's pretty extreme. That's like you can't even trust them to do anything. I mean, that's a bit extreme. So, I mean, when you phrase it like that, at all, I mean, I think that, you know, I can definitely agree that, yeah, you can love somebody that you don't trust. But, you know, loving somebody that you can't trust at all, that's a bit much. That you don't trust them in anything. You know, I think that's a bit, you know, over the top.
Yeah, I believe it. So do we, or are we willing to discuss our true feelings with our spouse and be ready and be prepared to find out the true answer? You know, if you don't trust this person and you ask them a question, are you prepared for the truth? No matter how bad it hurts from a person that you thought you were supposed to trust. Because I'm assuming, I mean, you're saying, you know, your friends, you know they're going to already fail you. But if you ask them why did you fail me? Are you prepared for the answer they're going to give?
You got to know it.
Well, 9 times out of 10, you already know what the answer's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's that trial and error. You've been with them probably for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They've probably been your boy since, you know, middle school. So you know what's going to happen.
Mm.
I mean, you know what's going to happen. I give a good example. I know right now, one of my boys, as long as I can remember, he's never been on time, ever. And that's a real basic example of trusting. Are we going to get there on time if he's driving? No. No, I never ride with him. I always drive myself.
Because if I'm waiting on him, we're going to be like an hour, 2 hours late.
Wow.
And every time he show up, I mean, same thing. Oh, man, I couldn't find my belt. You know, I couldn't, you know, hey, I had to take this old mama's house and them. And, man, it got crazy. I thought I was just going to be in there 15 minutes, and then it turned. I had to then take her to the store. I know that. So I say to him, I'm going to meet you there. So, I mean, you just know it. It's trial and error. You already know who this person is. But you still love him. That's your boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I've been there partying, having a good time for 2 hours, waiting on you. Mm. And really, I haven't been waiting on you. I've been doing my thing. You showed up. So, okay, now catch up.
Anybody else? Yeah, but do you find yourself lying to those folks when you already know that you can't trust this person? Just like you said, if you're going to be an hour late or 2 hours late because he's always going to have some issues, do you lie to him and say, listen, let's say the part, you know, the gathering starts at 6. You say, listen, man, the gathering starts at 3. I need you to be ready.
No.
You give him that extra cushion because you already know he's going to be late, so you give him that extra cushion by lying?
I don't think you have to lie. I think you've probably been, at that point, you've probably been burnt so many times, they already know that you are exactly how you're going to carry it.
Exactly.
You know, they already know.
That trial and error has already happened. Like, initially, maybe when we was in high school, yeah, I might throw the time off and try to see if we can maybe get there. But this, I mean, this dude, I mean, it's like, essentially, can't get right. I mean, he can't get right. You know what I mean? I mean, and that's really what it's about. I mean, and I don't have to lie anymore. He just knows that, look, P ain't going to ride with me. He gonna do his own thing. Even though it's stupid that we both coming from the same area and blah, 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 he ain't going to ride with me. Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Because we know you ain't going to be late, P.
No, I'm not going to be like that. And then even more importantly is when I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so it's like I'm not going to sit around and wait because that's the other thing. Get there late, then don't want to leave.
Right.
No. I done already put in 2 hours. Play, I'm ready to go.
You just get started. He done already been there for about 2 hours. He trying to play catch up. Yeah, I understand that, man. I understand that. That is funny,
married,
but
P?
It's true.
Is he married, P?
Yeah, and it's whoa. I mean, that is one of the biggest things. You know, when we do the couples thing, that's one of the biggest things. Because when they show up, his wife be like, guess why we late? And I was like, I already know.
you ain't gotta say that.
I already know, and I just look at her and be like, "Yo, you like people for you know the positive things that they bring to the table, but you gotta love them for their faults. And you love this man. You love him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always say to her. You love him because you know you ain't never getting nowhere on time, ever,
ever.
Because man, I couldn't find my belt, man."
All the belts in your closet, you couldn't find that one belt.
Couldn't find it.
Another belt. I understand
wow.
that, man. I understand. Did we grow up having problems with trust from, you know, with people? Did we put guards up, a defensive guard, which is really a trust guard, when we go places, new places, when we get a new job, when we meet new people?
Yeah, I would say that you grow up definitely with trust things. It's all based on, you know, stuff from your past and how that plays out. You know, as I've shared many times on the call, you know, father say he's going to come and swing by and do stuff that he doesn't swing by and do anything. And so now, I mean, that's a big part of it. It's like, you know, people can say whatever they want to. Just show me. Don't even say nothing. Just show me. You know, I mean, that's the honest truth. We gonna meet at 5. I'll see you if you're there. Bottom line.
Right.
I mean that's the honest truth because that is essentially for me, you know how it's played out. You know.
Mhm.
And I mean it's just one of those things that consistently and it's just you do have that, you do grasp that, you do learn that in some capacities with different things surrounding your life, and as you get older, when it happens and you try to get people the benefit of the doubt, you know, you're listening to like a loved one or a wife or a grandmother or a mom or somebody saying, all right, well, just give them a shot. Maybe this time will be different. You got to be the bigger person. And then that stuff still happens? Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's almost chaos for anybody else.
Don't you hate that? You got to be the bigger. Well, I got to be the bigger person. I'm not the one that did it wrong.
I hear you. I hate that.
You know? And
I
my
really
situation like yours, too, a little bit, because my dad was notorious, man, for saying stuff and not following through. Notorious while I was growing up. You know what I mean? And he lived with me. I lived with him, in other words. And it was always, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and never do it. And it got so bad to the point where, you know, and my wife is the same way. If I tell you, if I tell these kids we're going to do something, the only way they don't do it is if they get in trouble prior to doing it. But I'm going to show up. I'm going to make sure that they know if I say we're getting ready to go to wherever we're going, get your coats, we're getting ready to go. If we don't go, there's going to be a group discussion because we've deviated from the plans and we're going to do something else. But we are definitely doing something.
Yep.
I've gotten to the point where, if my daughter's godmothers or someone like that, you know, say that they're going to do something and then don't do it, I'll do it.
Mm. Wow.
Right.
Yeah, because it was already documented. Yeah. So don't tell my child you're going to do something and then don't do it. You know, then just don't promise them anything. You know, because that stuff, you know, is, I mean, you know, my dad got me good a bunch of times.
Mine too.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up about promising. Promising is very huge when it comes to trust, because when you put that expectation out there and people don't follow through, do we remember that and then put that in our trust factor box where we say, yeah, I remember last time you did this, you didn't follow through. So I don't know if I'm going to trust you as much. And you continue, every time you add something in that box, you find yourself trusting that person less.
I think it's worse when they actually, like Tony said, I mean, actually say they're going to do something and then they don't. I think that makes it worse. And, you know, like P said, just do it.
Just go ahead and do it
rather than say, yeah, we're going to do this or that and then never do anything. I think that makes it worse because you like building somebody up,
mm-mm,
you know, just to
no
disappoint them.
Who took the badge up? No, I didn't.
So listen to this. Can suspicion or jealousy affect trust in your marriage?
What is that?
Can suspicion or jealousy affect trust in your marriage? When you bring in that jealousy factor, we've seen it. We watched that Lifetime channel. We see it all the time where it seems like jealousy, you're just jealous, so you have no trust in your spouse because you're just a jealous person. Is that a huge effect?
I think it can be. I think it definitely can be. But you got to also remember, a lot of times people are jealous and they are that way because of their own actions. You know what I mean? They have done something that, you know, is getting to the best of them, so now they want everybody to take a little bit of that guilt, even if they're not guilty.
Or it could be some, you know, where same thing like the brother said, you know, he's been disappointed by his father many, 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 many times. So, you know, in some way that can translate to somebody that's not, you know, that's not his father just because of what his father did.
Yeah.
You know, they get a, you know, they don't get a pass for just missing, you know, once. They mess up once. Right,
it's a wrap.
Yeah,
it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's because of what your father did and not because the person legitimately got stuck in traffic or whatever.
Yeah, I don't have time for that. I'm going to be honest with you. It's one of those things where at this point, You know, the actions
mm-hmm.
are in stone. The characters may change, but the results will always be the same. And what I mean by that is, if you don't follow through with what you say you're going to do, it doesn't matter if you're my dad. It doesn't matter if you are, because there's times that my wife has said she was going to be ready to go, and I've left her here and driven myself.
Do you take a baby?
and just basically said to myself, you know what? I know I'm going to get in trouble and there's going
to
be an argument.
But
I don't
care. Say, man, you know if you're going to jump off, you get back.
Right, but I just don't care because this is what we talked about. This is what we agreed to. This is what we said we're going to do. Now something came up, blah, blah, blah. I don't have time for that. I just don't. So the characters can change all the time, but the outline is always in place. I don't care who it is. I just don't have patience for it. I just don't.
So would you rather her say, you know what, I'm really not going to be ready when you're ready to go, so I just meet you there?
Yep. I mean, she's gotten to the point now where she knows with me it's better to say, if you don't know, just say, I don't know. Don't give me something. don't give me something because I'm listening to you, and I'm going to hold you to that. And that trust thing with me is so I just don't have the patience for it. It's really simple because in my mind, you can control the situation. If you're concerned about will traffic be dicey? Will I not get there? Whatever, then leave early.
Yeah,
that's on you. I mean, you can do that. I mean, you can do that. You know, you don't have to be like, oh, he said 5 o'clock, and usually at 4:40, there's no traffic, so I can just go, blah, blah, blah. If you know who I am, because this is the thing also, too. People that have trust issues, 9 times out of 10, give you signs or tell you something up front about that so that you know that's the case. You just won't find out, oh, goodness, this cat is crazy about time. No, you know this. From a planner, from a scheduler, from the sticky notes in the office, from all the things that are going on. Even if he doesn't come out and say it to you or she doesn't come out and say it, you see the cues of it. You know this. Or you run into somebody that knows and be like, yeah, you don't want to be late with this one. You know?
Yeah.
Or you just pay attention. They always 20 minutes early. You know?
Right.
You're supposed to be at the airport about, what, 1.5 hours early? Okay. I usually get there about 2.5 hours early. And that's one of the things that my wife hates, that we sitting at the airport that early chilling. But we there.
They tell you, but, you know, the rules tell you you need to – there's some things you got to do early. So, you know, worst-case scenario, weather or traffic or something jumps off. You know, your bags get missing. That you got to – you got to be early. You can't just be on time.
Yeah, but I want to rewind to something the brother said about, you know, if she's learned to say, I don't know. With that, do you think that she knows, but she just doesn't want to tell you for the fear of your response to what the answer might be? So she just say, I don't know.
Yep. And she said that to me sometimes. And there's times that we've been together for multiple years, I'm able to look at her and say, you do know that you're just saying this because you don't want me to lock you into something. And she won't lie. She'll be like, yeah, you're right. I just know that if something comes up and it's off, it's better for me to do that than to just say, yeah, I'm going to be there at 5.
Right.
Because if you're not there at 5 and 2 seconds, I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm out. and then we're going to have problems. Because as soon as I see you, I'm going to ask you, what was up with that? I mean, you said 5. We discussed it. You agreed to it. What happened?
So
and that's going to be the greeting. It's not going to be, hey, how you doing, all that. I'm going to start with that. As soon as I see you, I'm going to leave with that.
So do you think that I know you don't think that she's blatantly being disrespectful by not, or maybe you do, I don't know, by not showing up, for example, at 5. And do you think that she's blatantly being disrespectful or she hasn't learned that, yeah, you need to be there at 5 or, you know, or she should know that by now?
I think it's
this is Rob here. I'm going to chime in on that just a little bit. One of the things that I've come to realize with that is that it's more or less the important factor. You know, when it comes to something that they want, they are ready ahead of time
and got
the bills on.
Uh-oh.
And if it's something that they're interested in, they got the bills on and they're ready. But
I'm glad you chimed
in. Something that they really don't want to, you know, do or don't have that sense of urgency for, then they lag behind. A prime example is that, you know, my wife, you know, I have this thing about church. I don't want to be late for church. And she can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and be at Macy's for a midnight sale.
Got him.
When it's time to go to church, it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and I'm going, come on, let's go. You know, and it's not until you leave them a couple of times that they actually go, well, wait a minute, maybe I should just be ready, because he's really serious about this, getting, not being at the back of the church and not being late, you know, type of thing. But I've actually noticed that if it's something that they're interested in, they're more apt to be on time. So if it's something that you want to do that she's late for, then look at the whole situation and go, okay, well, was it a mutual agreement? Like, say, when we want to go to the movies, if it's a movie that she wants to see and I say, yeah, I want to see it too, she's ready.
Mm.
But if it's a movie that I want to see and she don't want to see, she ain't ready.
That's a good point.
That's a good brother. Yeah.
Good
word.
That's
a good point.
Or she just don't want something. Just thought you're like, what you got on?
That was a good chime in. That was a good chime in.
Good word, brother. Good
Anybody
word.
Else want to throw in after that? That was great. Well, moving on. We talked about the jealousy part. But I want to stay on it a little bit because, you know, jealousy can affect. And I'm talking about marriage now, not friends, families.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking strictly spouse now. And jealousy, people don't understand the depth of jealousy, how it affects the inner of a person and what comes out of jealousy. And once that trust is gone and that person is a jealous person, that person, if he came from a family that was abusive or verbally or mentally, how that can affect the marriage.
Now you said something very important about the whole jealousy issue. What I've learned throughout time was that when it comes to jealousy, a lot of it is not that individual. It's the trust factor or what they've seen from somebody else. Say, for instance, you like to go places, and she doesn't. Well, that's not a problem. But when she gets around individuals that have that negative attitude, now it becomes a problem, you doing something that you used to do that wasn't a problem. Like, for instance, I like to get up and go play golf. So if I say I'm going to play golf on Saturday morning, it's not an issue because that's what I like to do. But when she gets around somebody that has that negative vibe, of are you sure he's out playing golf, or why he got to go play golf every week? You know, it shouldn't take no 5 hours to play 18 holes. Well, we know how the game goes. But now there's an issue there of why you have to go, why it takes so long, and then you're wondering where it came from. Or, you know, if you're, and we got to throw it back on the men, if your wife is getting up, getting dressed to go somewhere, we can't get upset because they're getting dressed, because me personally, I always want my wife to look good. You know, I don't want to go out the house looking like somebody's stepchild or a hobo. But, you know, so when she throws some nice-looking clothes and you go, where you going, baby? I'm going to the mall. Okay, you need anything? You know, instead of being that brother, well, why you got to get all dressed up just to go to the store?
Right. But that could... That fact, I've seen it where there was guys that they had no inner trust. They didn't trust anybody. The ones that wasn't at the beginning, I separated it into two things. I told her there's people in this world, some that we know, that never trust anyone throughout life, friends, family. They just don't trust anybody. So they question everything that somebody does. And they think the worst. So, you know, if your wife's going to the mall, well, who you going with? Well, why you got to go? We don't have no money, so what you going to the mall for? Or you might have that person, just like you said, yeah, go ahead on, go to the mall, pick me up something when you're out there, or pick me up some socks while you're out there. That they don't think anything of it. And some of this comes back of what has happened in past relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get in trouble with trust by bringing past relationships into our, and that makes us jealous because we bring past relationships into our marriage?
You definitely do, because I think one issue that you run into is where you become comparative. You take that relationship that you're in and you compare it to a bad relationship that you used to be in, and now you're trying to prevent the relationship you're in now from going sour based on what the last one done. And this is a brand new relationship. It has nothing to do with the last one. So we tend to try and control the situation now based on what happened before. And we end up actually messing it up.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, we got to leave that baggage. We got to kind of find a way to leave that baggage behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times we do, and I think you said something key, that we play the compare game, the comparison game.
Right.
You can't, I mean, two people are different. You know, you, just because your ex did that, did this, that, and the other does not particularly mean I'm going to do it. And you got to give me a chance to make a mistake. If I'm not making any mistakes, then don't crucify me.
Right.
That's hard, though. That's hard, though. I mean, that's easier said than done.
It's going to be a day-by-day process.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really hard.
Well, let me tell you what's even harder. When you know going in that your wife has been through that with her ex,
and you know
you got your work cut out for you. You know, you know that she's been in an emotionally abusive relationship where someone cheated and they were dishonest and all of these things. And here you are, you got to be on eggshells the entire time. I mean, even you know, let me just say, you got to be on eggshells the entire time because you know that there are certain buttons that you may push, you know, like going to play golf, you know.
Right.
And it's you pull your yellow ball out because it's 7 o'clock and it's dark, and you try to get them last two holes in. And she's like, it's dark. I know he's not still playing golf. But then, you know, and you finished and you're done playing and you're still talking with the boys, okay, and then you get home and it's dark, and it's like, well, where you been? Well, I told you I was playing golf, but it's dark. Nobody plays golf at, you know, in, you know, at night. You know, but you find yourself explaining yourself when you've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, Tiger.
You know,
be
all
playing.
Because of the previous person.
Yeah, Tiger be playing. He be hitting 18 holes in the dark.
Yeah,
now,
with a rack.
Now, on that same note, you know, it like the brother said, it is hard. But it's also harder, like the other brother said, that when you're going into a situation, and I had to fight through one of those situations, you know, with my wife, was that when we went into our relationship, she was not used to, I'm going to say a real man. Okay, she was not used to a man that wasn't abusive. She was not used to somebody complimenting her, you know, things of that nature. And it was like she always wanted to argue at first. She always wanted to fight at first. And it was one of those things where you want to argue, you want to fight, you can do it yourself. Because that's not the way I was raised. You know, and it had even gotten to the point where, you know, my mother talked to her and told her, say, look, that's not who he is. So you're going to have to change you, because he ain't going to change into what you want him to be, you know, and it's a matter of just sticking to your guns and helping her to get healed, you know, or if it's the other way around, allowing yourself to be healed through that love that's being shown. Because whether we realize or not, we have issues and baggage also that we don't want to admit to. You know, we have it, and we say, ain't nothing wrong with us. Say again?
I said, you said something real important in that statement.
Mm-hmm.
That we use jealousy as a way to change someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought we were grown folks. That, you know, we're gonna compromise and we're going to adapt, but don't expect me to do 100% change just because you don't feel comfortable for me doing what I did before
right.
I even met you.
Right.
And I think that affects marriages right there. It's that we don't understand, we don't know how to differentiate. Excuse me. You know the difference between what is, you know, what we can do and what we try to put them all together and say, well, you just can't do this.
Uh-huh.
I know you did it when you were single, but you shouldn't be doing this now because we're married. But if I like to play golf and I'm grown and I've done all my responsibilities around the house, then why can't I go play golf?
You done all your homework?
Yeah. I know I'm married, but I need some me time. Why can't I now all of a sudden I can't do what I love to do?
On that same note, we have to make sure that, you know, even though we're getting our me time in there, that we take the time to do the we time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we go out there and say, okay, well, here it is. I know what I like. I like to fish. I like to golf. But some days I set aside and say, you know what? Baby, would you like to do something today? And the first thing out of her mouth is, aren't you going to play golf? Well, if you want to do something.
I get that too.
You know, if you want to do something, then go ahead, because I hadn't made any solid plans to go.
Yeah.
And she'll normally say, well, can we go watch a movie later on today and you just go play golf now? And just because you made that offer to alter your day changes everything.
I think it goes back to what I always say. You know, we brother, we had a household, we in last place.
Yep.
Make sure everybody else taken care of, and then it's like, all right, can I go play a little bit of golf? You know.
Because even with Super Bowl, you know, I was like, look, I'm going to watch the game. And as I got up there to watch the game, you know, I'm sitting up there and I saw other people had their family there. I said, well, let me call my wife. I call, I say, you want to come here and watch the game? She say, well, ain't it for the men? I say, well, they got families up here. Well, I don't know. Well, come on up here. They got food, too. She say, well, I thought it was just, I say, I would like you to come. If you feel like coming out, I would appreciate it if you come. And it changed everything. She got up there and had a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And talked about it for 3 days. Now, this is the same woman that won't sit down and watch football in the house with me.
Hey, you got a point there. I mean, it took a long time for my wife to understand about me and my favorite team.
Yep.
Because, you know, there's some things, there's just some rules that I live by. When these games was on, and I got my drink and my popcorn ready. Don't ask me to go to the store. Don't ask me to do anything, because this is me and my TV time. Because I got a root for my team. That's just how I am.
I mean, you know, and it's a matter of them learning who we are, because we as men have to still maintain the identity of being men. Okay, my wife knows that on Saturday mornings when college football is going, I got my Texas Longhorn flag out, my Texas Christian University flag out. I say, I'm sitting in front of the TV and I'm not going nowhere today. So if I get up early and start cutting the yard, that's because the game is coming on later. If I don't get up early and cut the yard, that means the game is coming on now, but it's going to get done.
That's right. It's going to get done.
What I do is I find that time outside. So if I know Saturday, all day long Saturday, it's four or five games I want to watch, on Friday I'm trying to do something with it. So that when Saturday comes, I'm good. Or I plan something for later on Saturday night. So it's already on the schedule of after the games go off, we go into the movies. Or after the games go off, we're going out to eat. But with that jealousy thing, one other thing I found out is that we have to go back to some of the things we used to do that we just don't do no more.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, when you revisit, you know, go back in and just come home with one rose, if that's what you used to do when you first met or when you first got married, and it's been 5 or 6 years since you did it. Go back to it. And when she say, well, why? Well, it's just because I want to let you know I love you and keep going.
But you said something right there. Their reply. You know, their reply deals with that suspicion and intuition. I don't remember if people know that word very well.
Yep.
But women have this intuition, and men have it too. Men use their intuition more on the jealousy side.
Mm-hmm.
We try to stop it before it happens. But women don't try to stop it before it happens. They have this. They do the opposite. They have intuition. And I think intuition affects marriages a lot. Due to the fact, you know, women talk to each other, and the first thing they say is, and I think a lot of us talked about it early, is, why are you coming home so late? You know,
yep.
I work. I don't work the normal 9 to 5 hours. I can work 13 hours, 12 hours, 7 hours, 4 hours, or, you know, mine is a flex schedule. And so there's no telling when I'm going to, you know, get home. But I have
mm-hmm.
to set a line when I call and say, baby, we still got work to do. I'm going to be working late.
Right.
But I don't really know how that affects her intuition. Because, you know, through the years, the generations of women, they always say if your man say he's working late, he probably with another girl.
But you know what, though? I'm going to put it like this here. It depends on the woman, too, because my wife, when we were in Japan, she had girlfriends that were going through some things and, you know, if she could have easily had that suspicion issue because of her friends that were around her, but she didn't. And I'm glad she didn't, because when we were in Japan, I was doing ministry in Japan, and I would go to church on a Tuesday night for men's night. And I wouldn't get home till 11 o'clock at night, sometimes sitting up talking with men that had problems that they wanted to discuss or trying to understand some things. You know, Sundays, I wasn't coming home till 7, 8 o'clock at night, and she left church at 3 o'clock, you know. And for a while, she had that, well, why you got to always be at church syndrome, until it clicked. Hey, this is what I do, you know. This is what we signed up for. And once that understanding came through, hey, you know, anytime you want me, when you can't find me, you know where the building is. So it's an understanding fact that you have to keep there too. Everybody still with me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
So. You know, and that's the major thing, is just being understanding, you know, and it goes both ways. You know, everything we talk about, when we talk about jealousy, it goes both ways. We have to be understanding of the women, and the women have to be understanding of us, but most of all, we as men have to spell it out. If we think they're supposed to know, they're not going to know. Because they a woman's attitude is, well, you should have told me exactly what it was you wanted me to understand. But at the same time, you know, they change the rules on us, too, because we should know everything they're thinking. Right? How many of us then said, well, what do you want to do today? I don't know, whatever you want to. It's their reply to us.
Where you
want
to go to
eat? What they really saying is, what they're really saying is, now, you know, last week I talked about going to the movies, and you said okay, and we didn't get to go, and it's that day again this week. So they expect us to go, well, since we didn't go to the movies last week, want to go this week. But they're not telling us, hey, we didn't go last week. Can we go this week?
Man, that drives me crazy. That changes my whole attitude. It does, man. It's just, it's like, come on now. We go through this every week, every day, every second. Why we got to go through the same thing, baby? I don't feel, you know, what do you want? What do you want to eat?
I tell you what's worse is when you got two women doing that. It's crazy. Because what I'm talking about is when my mother-in-law comes into town, or my mother comes into town, and my wife or my mother and her mom or my mom are going back and forth. Well, Mom, what do you want to do? Well, you know, I don't really know. Well, I can do anything. Well, what do you want to do? And you're sitting there, you're listening to that. You're trying to let it go for a while until you say, you know what, we ain't going nowhere. we gonna pull these hot pockets out of this freezer, and we eating the same thing tonight. Because I mean that's crazy. That indecisiveness going back and forth, and then two of them trying to play that game of, well, the last time, if based off of what the scenario just gave, the last time I was in town back in such and such, remember I wanted to go to Piccadilly, and we never went to Piccadilly. So let's go now. I mean, what? I mean, yeah, two of them, crazy. Mm-mm. Crazy.
Well, look, fellas, this is going good. It's almost 10 o'clock, and I got a good one for you. So, I mean, think about it. Do we believe that trust has to be earned? Do we need to, you know, do we need to earn our spouse's trust?
That's a tricky question.
That's a good question.
That's a tricky question. That's a good question. I think it's based off of the person.
Yeah.
You know, because some people want to give you everything up front, and then once you start messing up, then they start reeling it back in. That's the type of person that I am. I'm going to give it to you up front. You start messing up, then don't get mad when you're on the last rung, because that's just what you did.
You give them the benefit of the doubt up front.
Up front, yeah. I'm going to give you, okay, first time I meet you and all that stuff, all right, you say you're going to be there at 5. We'll see.
But see,
you start messing up.
Go ahead.
You start messing up, and it's a wrap. Now, other people, depending on who they are, you know, they got to feel you out and all that stuff, and you got to go through 3 or 4 or 5 different, you know, checkpoints before you get the full trust. Nah, I'm going to give it to you all up front, and then we'll see what happens.
No, I'm the opposite. I mean, I think you have to, because my wife is sort of similar, but, you know, she's gotten burned several times, you know, with giving, especially with dealing with adults. You know, I always say, like you said, P, I mean, if you're going to say you're going to be there at 5, I'm going to need for you to show up at 5 before I believe you're going to be there at 5. You know, where you thinking that, you assuming that they said that they're going to be there at 5 and they're going to show up at 5, where I'm like, I ain't expecting them to show up at 5 until I see them at 5.
Right.
You know, I think it has to be, you know, it has to be exhibited. Some behaviors have to be exhibited before, you know, I don't trust nobody, you know, up front. You know, I didn't have anything in my childhood that I can recall, you know, why I'm like that. But, you know, especially dealing in the workplace, you know, stuff that I think is basic, you know, like replying to a phone call or email. So often that does not happen. And that's just, it's just a basic to me. It's just a simple, you know, you send an email, hey, Charlie, you know, here you go. Holler at me. Never hear from Charlie. And it's like, but I don't expect for Charlie to respond until he responds. You know, I don't expect, you know, if I send or call someone, I don't expect. And so often, like, I'll call somebody, somebody's calling them. that's not my phone, fellas. I'll call somebody and, like, for example, I was on vacation yesterday. And somebody get that phone. Somebody get that phone.
I can't tell you who it is.
Yeah. But yesterday I was on vacation, and I had left on my voicemail that I was out. I was on vacation. I was on, I was literally on limited voicemail or whatever. And I got a message, and the person said, you know, well, I see from your voicemail you're out. You know, just holler at me tomorrow. So I got the message, and I called her. I was like, yeah, you call. You need something. She said, I didn't expect you to call. You know, and the bottom line of that is that she was, you know, she didn't know that I would call on my vacation until I called on my vacation. And mm-hmm. so she, you know, next time, she going to say, you know what, I'll call Rodney. I know he'll answer on vacation, you know, whereas somebody else may not. So she didn't give me the benefit of the doubt, you know, to say, well, I know he's going to call me, you know, vacation or no vacation. But, you know, the bottom line is I had to prove to her that I was responsive despite me being on vacation, despite me being away from the office with limited voicemail access. I just called up and said, what do you need? Solve the problem. And enjoy and continue to enjoy my vacation.
You're a better man than me because I'm not calling nobody. I'm not Don't even call me while I'm on vacation.
Hey, look here. What I tell you last week, I left my phone at home because I told him I wasn't answering it when I said I'm not at work.
You said it. Because my phone, I remember that night, man, my phone kept ringing. We watched the football game. Everything rang every 5 minutes.
I mean, because it's and then sometimes it depends on who it is.
Yeah.
If, you know, we say we're going to do something, i.e., okay, I'll be there for you when you need me, but, you know, I'm on vacation. And you see that name, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So we're more apt to jump to it based on who it is. And it's that level of trust we give to them. Because, like, with me, I maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I have an easier time of trusting a friend over family.
Yeah.
Some family. You know,
yeah.
Like if I tell you, okay, I'm going to be on the call on Tuesday, you know, you say, well, I come over to your house on Tuesday. Okay, I'll be waiting on you. Well, I trust that you're going to be there. But if my sister tell me, okay, I'm going to be at your house on Tuesday, okay, I'll see you whenever I see you. Because if something comes up, I probably won't even receive a phone call.
Right.
Where if something comes up for a friend, they're going to at least pick the phone up and say, hey, something came up, I'll be late. Or I ain't going to make it. Can we do this another night?
It depends. Unless they're looking for their belt.
That's good. But, you know, I believe that, you know, there's some things you're going to have to, when you're in that courting stage before marriage, that trust needs to be earned. I don't think much trust needs to be earned once you say I do. Because,
right.
Just like you said earlier, is because you trust that, you know, on Sunday you don't have to say let's go get in the car. It's already a law that we're going to church on Sunday.
Right.
Now, if we had a long night, Saturday night, and we both a little groggy, I can have an understanding. But
right.
The rule is in the house is if we here, we go to church, tired or not.
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about, which goes back to the topic, trust, it's all about consistency.
Right.
And that's the bottom line, whether you're friends, family, wife, girlfriend, you know, whatever it is, it's about, you know, you have to build a track record of consistency.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it can't be one way either.
Mm-hmm.
Because like with me and my house, we have a standing rule of the house. I will let anybody come and stay at my house if they're in need of a place to stay. If they're out on their luck, if they're having problems at home, you can come stay at my house and you can be here until you get yourself together. But the standing rule is on Sunday morning, you don't get up. You're going to put your clothes on. I don't care if you got shorts. And you're going to be in church with me.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who it is. You know, so we made that standing rule, and we give that to everybody. So when somebody say, oh, I want to come down and visit, okay, bring some church clothes with you because we go to church on Sunday.
I'm not just going to take a week off because you coming into town.
Right.
So if you ain't bouncing at 9 o'clock in the morning going home, you going to church with me.
Right. Because, I mean, we even had one person come over and go, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to sleep in today. I'm sorry, brother. You ain't going to sleep in. You put that stuff you had on last night. Come on. Well, I can drop you off at the train station. Which one you want? I love
good
it.
Words.
You know, when I do it to my family, then it's an automatic, okay, well, if he did it with his family, I know I got to do it with mine. So the rule is set in stone.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you say, it's consistency. You can't just do it on one side and then let the other side go.
Yep.
Because in marriage, you come up with plans. So you trust that, all right, I'm going to get up. You get the kids' clothes together. I'm going to take them to school in the morning, and you're going to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm going to pay the bills when I go Monday morning, so you won't have to worry about it. But if I mistakenly or something happens where I couldn't pay in the morning, I'll let you know that you need to pay it in the afternoon. But we have
right.
that trust factor, and I guess y'all can see I said money, so you know it. This is getting ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you know, hey, you got your set of bills, and we go, you know, some families, I trust that you're going to have your set of bills that you're going to pay. I have my set. When it's not paid, I shouldn't have to find about it through a collector. I should find out about it through you.
Mm-hmm.
I trust that communication is coming. When it gets down to the nitty-gritty, how does trust affect the finances in the home?
Ooh.
But I'm a
dangerous. Yeah, I tell my story because I just be brief because y'all done heard it too many times. But, you know, my wife, she trusts me with all the finances. And it wasn't always that way. But, you know, like now, she don't know. She couldn't tell you what our mortgage payment is. I mean, she couldn't tell you what the car note is, when it's due, the cable bill, none of it. You know, because she just come in and lights are on, the heat is running, you know, the car's got gas. I mean, all that stuff is taken care of. And that's how I like it, and that's how she likes it. And it's really not important, to, you know, for her to – she knows me. She trusts me. That's the key word. She trusts me where she doesn't have to know that, did you pay that cable bill this month? Did you send the electric note this month? Because I'm going to do that anyway, because that's just how I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, it's not even, you know, when it comes to money, it's just like, you know, how much we got left this month, you know, for the miscellaneous expenditures. But it's really not a fact of, you know, she knows I'm not beating up the mall or buying this or that, you know, anyway. So it's, I mean, she totally, totally trusts me because I could really have a separate credit card that she would never know about it. You know, I could really do that, but, you know, I wouldn't do that. And she knows I wouldn't do it, you know, so she's, you know, and it just works that way. And like I said, it wasn't always that way, but, you know, we had to get there.
And, you know, Rodney, I'm glad you say that because I think that in answering the question earlier, does trust have to be earned in marriage? I think that that may be the one and only aspect where it does, finances. Because you got to see how, you know, if this person is going to be respectful with your cash.
Right.
You know, I think everything else, yeah, I'm going to trust you coming in, but we're going to have to see how these finances are going to work out.
Yep.
Now, with me, it was a little different. With me, we always had, because I was in the military. Never had to worry about anything. All the bills was paid, the whole nine yards. She didn't know what had to be paid, what didn't have to be paid. It wasn't until I got out of the military. And, you know, before I got out of the military, we sat down, we talked and say, now, you know, hey, it's time for me to get out. Ain't nothing I can do about that. And it's going to get a little hard.
And it was like, oh, okay, it's all fine.
She didn't know how hard it was going to get.
never questioned anything about finances. And then, you know, all of a sudden, she's running her credit cards up. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And she's like, oh, it's okay. We're going to pay it. And when one bill fell behind and another one fell behind, she's looking at me going, what are you doing? I'm like, what am I doing? I'm trying to find a job. So it wasn't until the overage was gone that a question about finances started in. And when the question about finances started in, I had to sit back and look at it and realize what it was. It wasn't a mistrust. What it was that, you know, me personally, I don't get stressed out over anything. If a bill is higher than what I thought it was and I imbalanced it for, I budgeted for a certain amount, I pay what I budgeted for. Because we still have to be able to be comfortable, you know, and then I budget the rest for the next payday and make sure that everything is getting paid. But it's a nervous factor. You know, we go, oh, well, it was a little high this pay period, so, but we're going to get it. You know, them on the other hand, they're looking at it going, oh, my God, what are we going to do? You know, the creditors are going to call us and the lights are going to get cut off and this and that. And, you know, what I tell my wife all the time is I say, have we ever been without food in the refrigerator? Well, no. Have the lights ever been cut off? Well, no. Is the telephone ever been cut off? Well, no. Do I own my house? And the standard answer to that is no. You know, I have a house in Virginia Beach, but I don't own it. And I told her from the day that we bought the house, it didn't belong to me, so I wasn't going to worry about the house. You know, God gave me the opportunity to have a house, so he's protected that house for as long as I had it. You know, and I tell all the time, when it comes a day that God turns his face away from us, then you can worry. But he ain't turning his face away from us, so what are you worried about? And a lot of times that mistrust in finances come because of worry, not actual mistrust of an individual. And that's what we have to recognize. And I had to do that. I had to recognize it wasn't that she didn't trust me. It was that she was worried and didn't know how to express that worry.
Ooh, good words. Didn't know how to express it. That could be tough because there's times that even I don't know how to express things to this day to my wife. And I was just telling the guys earlier today, I had to write it on paper. Come to find out, my wife wrote hers down on paper. Because I guess we got to the point where we have a lot of things going on, a lot of stress, a lot of changes. You know, not working full-time now, the jobs. Mine is working 70 hours a week now, so I'm away from home a little bit more. That stress and that, you know, trust and making sure everything is still, you know, because we're not on our normal game plan. And we really haven't sat down and put a new game plan together. That trust that everything financially is going to get paid or if anything is getting missed.
Right.
We have missed some things where we have to go back and pay later.
Right.
But, it was that communication part where with the disconnect. Because not myself nor my wife knew how to express that through communication. And that seems odd, 18 years being together, but that was a wow factor that we just figured out last night.
Wow.
And it was like, good grief.
And you know what's funny is when you get into the whole subject of expression, we find out that we really don't know each other the way that we thought we knew each other because of that. You know, not in a negative sense, but, you know, when I look at my wife, I say, that's my wife, that's my other half. She completes me. Where I'm weak at, she's strong at. You know, where I'm strong at, she may be weak at. And together, we can survive anything. But
when it comes to expression factor, where she may get exasperated, and I'm cool, calm, and collective. You know, I'm not worried about it. Where I might get a little paranoid at, and she's cool, calm, and collective, and it's a matter of just coming to a reality sense of going, wow, we still have some things to work on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it takes a lifetime to know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll always, it'll never be a point where, you know, we'll be like, oh, I know everything about her.
Right.
It never happens. You know, it's always
right.
Something you learn, and I think that's what keeps it fresh. You know,
mm-hmm.
Now hopefully, you know, you wouldn't find out something that's a deal breaker, but, you know, you know, but I mean, finding out those little, those little idiosyncrasies, you know, and the same goes for us. They don't know everything about us, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it's a constant learning process. So, you know, it just keeps it fresh.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So it's 10:15, and I want to move away a little bit from finance, but I want to come into your homes and go up your steps into your bedrooms.
Don't get shot.
You in the residence like that? That gives me free will to just pop off.
but listen, guys. Do our spouse have? We talked about that intuition. We talked about that jealousy. We talked about those finances. Now that we said I do, does what belongs to me belong to you? It belongs to us. So when you take your clothes off, me as the spouse has the right to go into your pockets, go into your wallet, go into the bank account, and check and see everything that you do.
I'm going to start with the pockets. I mean, if I'm helping to do laundry, I'm just going to use my due diligence to make sure you don't have any tissue paper or anything that's in there. So I'm going through pockets. That's just the bottom line.
Mm.
I'm going through the pockets. Now, as far as purse and all that stuff, I've never been that one. Even if as long as I can remember, you know, even right now, if my mother were to say, just go in there and get something. Nope, I'm handing you your purse. Do the same thing with my wife.
You get it.
I'm not going in a purse and getting money out. No, if my wife said, yeah, just go get the keys out of the bag, I will bring her her bag. She will get it out. That's just how that's just how I always have done it. So I don't really go through that. Now, as far as, like, finances and things like that, where we have joint accounts and stuff's online, or we doing things and we actually sitting in person talking to somebody, we walking through stuff, looking at finances, yeah. I mean, of course I'm looking at that stuff. But there's certain things that just don't happen.
Well, could you restate the question? Because were you asking, does she have the right
let's say you went out, you know, lunch, and you got the receipt in your pocket, and your wife is checking your pockets every time you come home, and then questioning, well, hey, where you been?
That's a bigger issue right there, brother.
Well,
bigger issue. That's a huge issue.
We went out to eat lunch day or something. You know,
there's no outside of the laundry. There's no casual. I would just casually go into your pocket. That dog just don't hunt, man. There's no, I was going through your pockets. I heard, I felt something in there while I was hanging them up, and I didn't want it to fall out. No. No, they looking for something because there's some trust issues.
Exactly.
I mean, but on that same note, you look at it and you say, okay, the way he stated the question was, do they have the right?
Mm-hmm.
To me,
yeah.
Sure, go right ahead. I don't have anything to hide from you.
Yeah.
You know, and for your wife to look at you and say, just go on my purse and get it, means that she doesn't have anything to hide from you. So, you know, in a sense, when you married, you become one. So,
yes.
You know, if you feel like you want to go on my wallet and get $10, $15, whatever the case may be, and as long as I ain't got nothing in there that ain't supposed to be in there, I ain't got no problems to worry about.
Hmm.
You know, but, you know, when you come, when they come back and go, well, what's this receipt for?
Mm.
Now, you know, it's not an issue of do they have a right to go through it. It's an issue of what are you insinuating? Because
right,
if I'm telling you go right ahead, then whatever is in my pocket is in my pocket. If you see a lunch receipt in there, then I went to eat. You know, plain and simple. What
yeah.
I think is more or less the whole that falls in line with trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if I'm riding down the street and I see a friend of mine and me and the brother stop to have lunch, you know, my wife, when she say, how was your day today? Oh, it was great. I ran into such day. We went to eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, he gonna stop by one day next week, whatever the case may be. Is that, and that's where we avoid a lot of it also. Because a lot of times, and, you know, I'm guilty of it. I'm very guilty of it. I'll come in from work and my wife will say, how was your day? It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what they're asking.
Right.
And it took me to sit down and I don't know, maybe I am getting old because I'm starting to listen to talk radio. It took me listening to a talk radio show where they actually brought up an issue similar to that. And, you know, he said that when a woman asks you how your day is going, she's not asking you whether it was good or bad. She wants to know what you did.
The detail.
In other words, you know, hey, how was your day at work? Oh, my day at work was okay today. You know, we didn't have many issues. Such and such did this or that, and whatever the case may be. I had lunch today, and that was just it. Other than that, it was a normal day. Now, you shared your day with her, and she feels a part of it. You know, when I come home, I say, babe, how was your day today? You know, and she's quick to say, oh, my day was great. You know, the participants at the nursing home was like this and this. I don't know one patient from the next patient. And I'm all ears, and I'm concentrating, and I'm listening, because the minute we seem like we're not interested is the minute that they're going to start questioning everything that we do.
Yep.
Or they will put the lock on the conversation and stop
talking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the worst thing when they don't want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they want to talk to you, but they already know, look, you know, he ain't really interested in what I got to say, so I'm not going to pick it up.
But I think, in a sense, yeah, they do have a right because you're married.
Right.
You know, but don't question me about everything.
Yeah.
Right.
That's my stance on it. If I say go ahead, if you know you need something out of my pocket, whatever you're looking for, the insurance card, whatever, the stamp club card, go get it. If you find something in there, don't ask me about it.
Right.
Don't question
you know
me
that?
About what you find. I give you the green light to go in there. I got nothing to hide from you. Don't ask me about no receipt for nothing.
Right.
It could be receipt for flowers. Don't ask me about
it. I mean, you can take that a step further. How many of us got them little cell phones on our side that we set on the kitchen table when we walk in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, I don't expect for every number that's in my cell phone to question me, who is this? Why are they numbering your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, my phone sits on the counter. If it rings and you say it's ringing, what do I tell you to do?
Answer.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have any conversation here.
Right. That is true. I mean, while you're on that topic, I mean, let's just move away from the phones, unless anybody else got any comments on the phones right quick.
Mm.
And let's move to that computer.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-oh.
We live in a world of chat city.
Uh-huh.
You know, I meet you, you know, you got friends, older friends, I got older friends. And you got these meet-up lines, Facebook,
uh-huh.
whatever else, Twitter. And now you can tweet or you can write off your cell phone. You can say, hey, I'm doing this or hey, I'm doing that. And then you got people who can comment.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, you know, how does that affect? Because I'm assuming, like, my wife, she knows passwords for, you know, my password is almost the same to everything that I have.
I'm right there with you.
So,
so it's easy to make it, you know, y'all be identity theft victims pretty soon.
Yeah.
Once you get the one password, you're ruling.
I know. We probably get that, you know. But, you know, it's just one of those things that got full access to whatever I have access to. Right? So, she knows all the lists of my friends and everything. So it doesn't bother me. And, like, she may not know some of them. And then some of them say school, high school. We went to high school together. But I don't be on Facebook enough anyway to be communicating with everybody.
Right.
Only when it's game day when I have to talk trash in Carolina. Because there's a lot of things when it comes to basketball in Carolina, and there's Carolina and Duke, we're going to talk about it.
You know, some of us are on Facebook more than others.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm not on Facebook that much. But there is some folks that have gotten in trouble because of their Facebook page.
Right. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter the vehicle, it matters your heart.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Before Facebook, you know, we were out there laying wood, those that were trying to lay wood. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Before we had cell phones, those of us that wanted to lay wood were out there laying wood. We had beepers. We had all kinds of things.
Beepers. Wow.
It's the heart.
He took it back with beepers.
Yeah, I go free beeper day, okay? You know, I'm just saying it's not the technology, it's the heart.
Right.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
Because,
so it doesn't matter. Now, you know, if you don't have the right heart, it doesn't matter if you got a computer. You're going to hook
mm-hmm.
up with somebody and do what you try
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the bottom line is, if, you know, if you ain't right, it ain't going to be right.
Yep.
There you go.
You know, that's really the bottom line. If she, you know, if you got a heart to get out there and do your thing, it doesn't matter. You know, like, I have to have, for me, because I know, you know, my weaknesses, you know,
mm-hmm.
I got to have all that stuff open because I don't want it to tempt me.
Right.
Okay. My wife knows all my passwords. Okay. Not because I'm doing something. Because, you know, I've been out there and I know my weaknesses. And I don't want that to creep into my head thinking, you know what, I could do a little something like that. Because, it, you know, it's jive easy these days to hook up with old flames.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard for somebody to track you down if you're on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. You know, because you registered from your college and you registered from your high school, and it doesn't take long for somebody that has some kind of knowledge. Hey, well, he graduated in 1980 from Howard. Let me go check it out.
You want to hear something else to add on that? You ain't even got to do that. Everybody go to your computer and type your name in there.
Yep.
That's right. Oh,
if
man.
If you type
oh,
your
man.
Name in the computer.
That's it.
Something that's attached to you is going to come up. I actually had to show my son that. I typed my name in, mm-hmm. and my name popped up from 5-6 different websites.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, I didn't even know what they were.
I your name in too, man. It popped up with, you know, that child abuse thing.
Right. No. There you go. But the thing about
I'm
it too. Is like, with your computer, see, you wrong with that.
I'm sorry, man.
But the thing about it is that, you know, you are not unreachable. I mean, I'll give you a prime example of that. My ex contacted me, and I'm like, how in the world she find me? You know, and I look up, and my wife chatting with her. I'm like, what in the world? She's like, yeah, you know, I'm like, okay. And she say, I said, what she say? You know, they email back and forth with each other. So, you know, that's
what?
Why I keep everything open.
That's pretty freaky. Yeah,
that is weird.
But you know what? But
yeah.
Well, you know what's funny that you got to be careful of now? I saw this on
mm-hmm.
Saturday. Is that new phones have GPS.
Got
yes.
That right.
So when you take a picture, somebody can do a right click and put properties and find the exact address of where you took that picture.
Wow.
Yep. Through your GPS, it shows the address and actually, you know, exactly where you were when you took that picture.
Wow.
That's
crazy.
Because
they're concerned about, you know, you got to be concerned because we allow our kids to have these phones these days.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're taking pictures, they get your address to your house.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Well, I was talking to a buddy of mine today on the phone, and he was talking about, well, you know, they dropped me this phone book off from Verizon. They called to see if I got the phone book. I said, who in the world uses a phone book? Come on. You know, he goes, well, I got to pay if I get something online. I said, what? Man, get on here. I said, gave him a couple of websites. I pulled everything up about his wife, his ex-wife, his kids, all kind of stuff. He was like, wow. I was like, yeah. You can't hide Jack these days. It used to be a private detective had to do all that stuff.
Right.
Now you can get on online in three clicks, man. You got somebody's whole history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now even with pictures, you know, you can right-click on there and find exactly where that person was when they took that picture. So
that's why y'all got to get on Facebook and check out the Aruba picture of the day. On the beach in Aruba. My picture right there.
But I got to ask this question, and this may be a tough question.
Y'all keep ignoring my Aruba folks here. What's going on?
All right. No, we don't. But do we expect our wives to trust us as being the man in the household, head of household in our household? Or is that something that needs to be earned?
I think that's something that needs to be taught.
Right.
Because head of household is not something that's earned. Head of household is something that is designated by God.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a position to be earned. That is a position that God instilled. And he put in effect. And one of the challenges is, if a woman doesn't know that or a man doesn't know that, and there's a lot of women in that position because men have abdicated that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want the pants. They'd be handing the pants around. Oh, I don't want to wear the pants. But a woman is not built to do that. Now, sometimes they have to, or they grew up and they saw their mom, and that's what they did, and they thought, I'm not going to be dependent on a man. I'm going to do my own thing. But what really needs to happen is, we as men need to understand that it's not a choice. This is what God has deemed us as our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a position, it's a responsibility.
Well, how does it affect the family when your wife doesn't trust you to be that? When she's giving up on you being the head of the household?
I think that comes down to, again, a counseling situation.
Right.
That her trust has to be in, if you're a Christian, in the Christ that lives in you. And she needs to take those petitions to God and say, God, this is the man that you put in my life, and I'm going to submit to the Christ in this man. I'm going to submit to the position that it's kind of like, when I see people disrespecting the President of the United States, that really gets under my skin, okay? And it doesn't matter if I like the President or not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could care less about, you know, some of their policies. But the position of the presidency needs to have respect. When Bush was in, the liberals just totally disrespected him. You know,
mm-hmm.
Obama's in, the conservatives are totally disrespecting him. And you're disrespecting the position. You can disagree with somebody's position. But when you take it over and you start to disrespect the position that someone's in and don't give that position respect, that's when I have a problem. And the position of head of household, is not an earned situation. It is a situation that every man is in.
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to what you said earlier is, you know, you have that woman that's in that grew up in a situation with a single family home where her mother was the head of household. And that's easier said than done for her to submit to the designated head of household. You know, for
right.
her to just say, yeah, you know, yeah, I'm going to respect him and he's going to run it, because what she's used to is mama ran things. You know, she didn't need no man, you know, so why I got to respect this joker?
So what needs to be done about that? What's
good
the real
question.
The real answer? What needs to be done? We as men, what do we need to do? I mean, we could always beat them. But
unless you want jail time.
You know, but beat him into submission, man, you know.
But I think once you proved yourself as the head of household and
I wouldn't even say once you prove yourself. It's more or less that you have to step into that position that you were given.
Not accept.
You were placed as the head of your household.
Right.
And if you're allowing your wife to stand in that position, then your house is out of order.
And that's what I'm saying, is that once you've assumed your position, but she is not embracing you assuming the position.
Yeah,
you know, that's the question. What do you do then? Yeah, what do you do then? Where she's just like,
now let's just say you're a man and you didn't understand about head of household, and you got in a relationship and you married her and she may have been, you know, type A, you know, personality and that wasn't your thing, and you let her make the choices and decisions and kind of run the show, and now all of a sudden you realize that you've abdicated your responsibility. How do you take the pants back?
Wow.
Yeah, you just can't say, all right, I'm
back,
now.
I'm ready to be in the household now.
Take the pants off and give them back to me.
That's right.
You know, I know some brothers that are in that situation. I mean, the woman runs the show. I remember one time we had a woman get on the co-ed call and a husband, and I mean, she totally ripped him a new butthole.
Oh, wow.
Totally disrespected him. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. Okay?
I
mean, she totally raped this boy, and he didn't say jack. And I got a call after the phone call from one of the moderators saying, was that so-and-so? I went, yep. I went, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What do you do in that situation if you find yourself having abdicated your manhood, okay? Because I told him, I was like, dude, I could make you like a laser copy of my man card. You could use it. You know? I mean, you just, you know, hold your finger over the name. You know what I mean? I mean, what happens if you gave her the man card? How
wow.
do you get it back?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it will be the same thing, but I know that with me and my marriage, because I was in the military and I was gone a lot, I allowed her to do things that needed to be done.
Right.
And when I came back, it was one of those processes where, okay, baby, let me see how everything is going, because I'm getting ready to take everything back over. I'm not going anywhere for
right.
a year.
Right.
So that I can do what I'm supposed to do and make sure that the house is running correctly.
But you see,
you know,
when you told her I'm leaving and you gave that authority to her, you were still the acting head of the house.
Right. But
okay.
if you never had it.
We don't have
ooh.
To do everything.
Right.
Okay. We just have to be the ones responsible for it. That's what
right.
it is. It's not that we've got to do everything. We could say, okay, honey, you know, like my wife, I got no problem telling y'all, my wife pays all the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's better at it.
Right.
She's great at that. Okay? All I tell her is how much money you need in the bank. I'm like the dude that goes to make the donuts. y'all probably too young to remember that.
I'm right there with you.
You're right? Okay. I'm the worker bee. How much money we need? We need this much. Okay. That's my responsibility to make sure it's in there so she can pay the bills.
Right.
tell me, I felt, okay, this is the date. You tell me by this date how much money we got to have. You tell me everything needs to be done, you know, so I can make sure that you ain't, you know, sweating or having to pull money out of savings or investments or anything like that. You tell me what you need in that checking account, and I'll make sure, you know, that's in there. Okay? But it's not me giving her headship. That's me giving the or delegating a responsibility
right.
that has been given to me. So when you left, you delegated to her the responsibility, and when you came back, you took back the responsibility. You said, well,
mm-hmm.
how did I? Okay, great. Well, I'm going to do this. And that isn't you giving up manhood. We can give you some examples of dudes giving up manhood. And here's another question. I got a real question.
Uh-oh.
Is Tony on the phone?
Seahawks here.
Is he on the phone? Okay, because he can answer this.
I'm right here.
What about us dudes that have stepped out and
wow.
gunsling and come back, and we want to make things work, and you coming back with the humble pie, how you know, where's the manhood then?
Uh-oh.
That's the
Tony,
question
you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is because I went through that. You know what I'm talking about, Tony? When you're walking on those eggshells?
Walking on those eggshells because you don't know what's about to go down.
Right.
Wow.
Hey, I saw a comedian. I want to say it was Chris Rock. But he was talking about when he was talking about out there stepping out and you got caught. And she's like, you got to go. And you're like, okay, you pack your stuff. I guess I got to go. And you out the door, and she's like, wait a minute. I'm going to give you another chance. And he's like, don't let it happen. She's going to beat the hell out of you.
You don't want that.
Truth. That's a serious situation. I've been there. Hey, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay. So what if you find yourself in that situation?
You better come back with some authority. And what I mean by that is, yes, I was wrong, but this is what happened. See, there's always a this is what's happened.
Right.
In infidelity.
There's always a and I said so.
Well, right. But I don't know if there's I don't know if there's that in that situation.
Okay. So come with it.
That goes with the question then of I can forgive you, but I will never forget.
Mm.
Right? And that holds on to that trust box.
Here's what I really believe.
That they expect you to do it again.
I've seen this happen numerous times. As y'all know, we talk a lot of people. I've seen this happen numerous times. When there's infidelity in a relationship, the relationship is over.
Yes.
The relationship has ended at that point. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean you can't build a new relationship with that wife, but that relationship is over.
That's hard to come
back. The relationship, as you knew it, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to build a new one, you've got to start. You came in when you started your rap at zero, and you built your way to 100. Now you're coming in at minus 500, and you got to get to zero before you can start even building the relationship. But that relationship that you had, that marriage that you had, is over at that point. Because they're going to do one of two things. They're going to either sweep it under the rug, and believe me, 2 years later, that sucker's coming back out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It doesn't go anywhere.
That's so true.
That is coming back out. Or number two, she going to beat the hell out of you right
yeah.
then, crying every day, how could you do this to me?
Yeah.
And, or here's the worst trap. Okay, tell me everything that happened. Don't fall for that. Shut up. Where'd you take her? Don't fall for it. Am I lying, Tony?
No.
Not at all. Not at all.
Because guess what?
I'm not
going to
pick
on
Tony, but I know me and Tony been out there. See, the rest of y'all, you know, y'all smart dudes. Me and Tony, we've been through that stuff.
The
Am I lying?
The only explanation is needed is that it happened. And yes, I did it.
And I effed up.
And I drew. Yeah, my bad. When I was watching the whole Tiger Woods thing, the one thing he'd never admitted, and he took a long time to admit that he cheated. He used a lot of big words, and he danced around and said indiscretions, whatever the case may be, and I think that that's what did him in the most. You got to at some point say, this is who I am, this is the problem that I have, I was unfaithful. But then with that, I believe that, and maybe it's just me, but I don't think that if we love our wives and we want to be with our wives, that we're not just going to cheat on them. I think a lot of people cheat because there's something lacking, and not blaming anything on the women, but there's something lacking there that may have once been there, and they're crying out for attention.
Well,
some people cheat just to get caught.
Having been there, I will tell you, and having seen this, you know, I don't know how many times in our living room, it's never one person's fault.
No.
Okay?
Sure.
There's always an action and a reaction, and then an action and a reaction, and action and reaction, and then he sleeps with Susie.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes absolutely nuts. How could you do this? Well, you put me in a basement for a year. Okay.
You haven't been listening to what I've been telling you all along.
You know, or whatever the situation, and that's not an excuse, and that's not going to fly when we stand in front of the Lord. That woman you gave me put me in the basement. Okay, you know, I mean, what our boy say? I'm going to get me some snatch. He just told us.
Hey, Andrew, but it's real talk.
But let me ask that quick question then. Does trust issues make you feel trapped in a marriage?
Could you define that?
If there's infidelities in the marriage, if you try to not make it out, if you get moved to the basement, if you're just not getting along, you're unable to communicate, you're unable to do anything, but you're trying to make it work. Don't you feel trapped in something that's just not going to work?
Well, what I have found, and here's the bottom line, the real way through a broken trust is forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not get to a point of true forgiveness, then it's never going to work. Okay? Because and true forgiveness is dealing with it, facing it,
right,
and then starting the process of moving on and continuing that process to move forward. If you don't forgive, what happens is 6 months later, it's still thrown in your face. 2 years
no.
later, it's still thrown in your face. But you
mm-hmm.
did. But you did this. But you did this. And the problem is, if we're Christians and we have received the forgiveness of Christ, we're to model
mm-hmm.
that. Okay? Christ doesn't say, yeah, but Rodney, when you were 15, okay, or you know that girl you looked at, Rodney, and you had that thought of lust 3 years ago, that's not how God forgives us, is it?
Yep.
Mm-mm.
Okay, and that's real forgiveness. Now, the deeper the hurt, the longer the process of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a healing. Healing is not a miracle. A miracle is instantaneous. Healing is a process. If you cut your arm and it heals, there's a process to that healing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and sometimes it hurts for a long time. And after it hurts, it itches, and you're still picking at it. But there comes a point that there's no more pain associated with. Once
mm-hmm.
it gets to that point, you still have the scar. You can still look at it and go, oh, yeah, I remember that. But there's no more pain associated with it. That's when you know you've come to full healing. That
right.
process takes time. Now, once we forgive somebody, then we've got to take it, and every time that upset, that mad comes up, we got to take it to the Lord. Lord, hey, I have forgiven this woman. I have forgiven this man, and I'm giving this to you. And this anger that's raising up in me, I'm giving it to you because I have forgiven this person. That's the only way. And then once you get to that point, then you can reestablish a situation where you can start to build a new trust. And then, and I'm not advocating adultery or anything like it, but you can actually develop a stronger marriage because now you have a communication that you can say, hey, things aren't right. Let's talk about this, because the bottom line, sticking your wing in another girl doesn't solve any problems.
Not long term, anyway.
Not long term, that's right. You want to do a situation, a backup, you got to take care of. But in a long term, it's not going to solve it.
Short term, you might be all right. But long term,
you might be
all right.
Okay. And you know what? You know what I found out? I found out Satan gives you his best up front. It's as good as it's going to be up front.
Mm-hmm.
It gets worse as you go on. And the binding binds you more and more and more as you get deeper and deeper into an affair. The joy goes away from it, and then you start leading a double life. And it's no longer exciting and fun. Now you got to go perform for one and perform for the other and try to keep all that crazy stuff separate. The most exciting point is in the beginning with Satan's lie. See, but with God, it gets sweeter and sweeter as the years go on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you really find out what real love is. Okay, and the depth of the love. I got a patient that comes to my office. He's 96 and she's 95, and they've been married some 70-some years.
Wow.
And he walks in, and she's on a walker, and he's on a cane, and he's opening the door, and he's just loving all over her, and she can hardly move around. He can hardly move around. But you can see the mature love. But I'm sure he's not going home and tearing it out the frame. Okay? He's probably way beyond that. But the love that develops in time is real love. And the fake stuff that the enemy puts out to us, you know, 26, you know, 36, 26, whatever she is, I mean, you know, that's fleeting. You know, there ain't no woman that's going to be 75 years old like she did when she was 22.
However, here's a question for everybody. Going back into the bedroom, should our wives expect us to make them climax every single time they get that we have sex?
Man, you love that bedroom, don't you?
Oh, man.
Well,
are we expected as a household and being the man of the house to make our wife every time we have sex?
Well, see, a woman doesn't have to climax to be satisfied.
Yeah.
See, that's a myth that men think. See, if we don't get off, we got to do something. Hey, baby, you better jack. Oh, I can't say that. Baby, you better do something. Something's going to happen. Okay, but a woman can be satisfied just by the, you know, the intimacy and you know, I mean, they really can be fully satisfied. They don't have to climax like a man. I mean, we have a physical need. We got to get something off.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something. Hey, you ain't doing something, you better call your aunt.
Mess around, be seeing blue down there.
You better call your sister. Somebody's coming over here to take care of me.
I got a question.
I'm listening.
Back on the trust issue and back on the trust issue. Let's just say you got a spouse that's so comfortable with the fact that you're so trustworthy that they know for a fact that you're not going to do anything, you're not going to go outside the marriage, you're not going to do any of those things. You're going to come
crazy
home every single night. They just
crazy
comfortable with
that's
it. No, but some spouses are comfortable with the fact that they know you ain't cheating. They know that there's no chance of it at all. And they're comfortable, almost a kind of cocky about it. Like, well, I know, you know, ain't nobody going to take what I got.
Yeah, I think most women are that way.
Let me finish the question. Let me finish the question. So they're so comfortable with it, and they know that it's not going to happen, that they stop doing the necessary things.
Uh-oh. You're back in that bedroom again.
You see what I'm saying? They're so comfortable with the fact that you're so trustworthy that, well, they don't have to do but so much because they know you're not going nowhere.
Mm.
What about that spouse?
Well, that goes both ways.
Wait, what was the question?
That's why I said spouse. I didn't say wife. That's why I said spouse.
That goes both ways, and that goes back to one of the things I said earlier, is that we have to revisit, you know, those things that we did in the beginning, you know, just to keep it fresh. Because if you don't take care of home, somebody else will.
You got that right.
I mean, I'm just being honest with you. If you ain't taking care of home, somebody else will. So, you know, if you used to rub feet and she used to love feet rubs and you stop doing it, give her a foot rub every now and then. You don't want nobody else on the feet, right?
Yeah, but you're right. But I'm talking about this force field that we done built, this brick wall that we done, this hedge that we done built around them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where they know, oh, I got a good man. His eyes don't wander. He's going to come home. You know what I mean? I can trust him. I don't have to look through his phone. I ain't got to go through his pockets. None of that. I know I got the right one.
Uh-huh.
So now that I got this right one, I don't really have to do all the things I had to do to get him. I already got him now. He ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a point where there should be some wake-up call?
Yep.
The wake-up call comes from you.
I think that comes from the truly wed game where you said the one thing that should have been done.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Rodney, you remember that?
What's that? Which one?
The question in the truly wed game. The one thing you should be doing. You don't remember that question?
Well, why don't you go ahead and ask the question?
Yeah.
You said the one thing that your spouse, that you'd like your spouse to be doing.
Oh, to do
and
more often,
okay.
You said that in public?
Yeah.
And
that was
one of the questions.
Rodney, you know what I said, right?
Say it again?
Knee pads.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I said a lot of things.
I said that too.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that. I said, that's right. That's the setup.
But I think back to Tony's question is that whether she's doing what she needs to or not, that doesn't give us license to step out on her. And I'm, you know, and what I'm saying is that, you know, it should be a wake-up call, but that wake-up call should be a conversation,
right?
A series of conversations.
You know, it goes.
Well, I mean,
but
don't we drop subliminal messages?
Well, sometimes you can't go subliminal.
Right.
Sometimes you got to go straightforward. Like I told, you know, for me, you know, I say, okay, something as simple as, hey, I would like breakfast when I get up in the morning.
Right.
Well, if you don't tell her that, and
right,
she used to, but she stopped,
right,
she ain't going to start up doing it.
Right.
Unless you say, hey, can we get breakfast again? You know, if you had a date night when y'all were courting and making everything to where it needed to be, and all of a sudden the date night stopped, baby, what happened to date night? We don't love each other enough to do that no more. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Because she may be comfortable in the fact that you're not going nowhere and say, well, I don't have to do that no more. I can fill that day with a TV show.
Yep.
Well, no, we still, on Thursdays, we do this.
That's right. Good word.
I think that's really important that we realize that we have got to continue to date our wives, that we, you know, I mean, who doesn't want to go, you know, to have a girlfriend? Don't y'all want a girlfriend?
I told somebody the other day that, you know, tonight I'm going to see my mistress.
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow I'll go see my girlfriend, and then I always go home to my wife.
Because
I look at her as those three combined. You know, when you're back in the day, before you were married, you know, you had all three. You
mm-hmm.
had a main woman. You had, you know, that mistress that you can always go through, and then you had that 4 a.m. person after the club
right.
that you were guaranteed.
Now, the question is, are we still that guy?
Mm.
There we go. Or are we the guy with the t-shirt and the six pack on the couch? What are we?
Yeah, but I want to go back to the girlfriend and the mistress. I think that's actually a slight to your wife, you know, referring to her in those terms, because if you think about it, the wife should be getting, you know, more than what the girlfriend or the mistress ever got.
Well, he's just saying the variety of a woman. You have all those things in your wife.
I call my wife my girlfriend all the time.
Mm-hmm.
See, my girl, you my girl, you always going to be my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to always open the door for you.
Because that's where it started. That's the first thing. We wanted a girlfriend before we wanted a wife.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. And a girlfriend is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And to have that same one in a wife, that's all of it, right there,
isn't it?
That's right. If we can continue to date and chase him on the beach in Aruba.
But yeah, chasing. But that mistress is that wife that you want to get on, you know, to do those things. She's not gonna do every day. Let's get wild tonight.
Yeah, the knee pads, the handcuffs.
You know, yeah, let's get wild tonight. But I still respect you once we wake up in the morning and go away from work.
That's right, because you're gonna take care of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need a combination of all that.
Right.
Okay. I mean, if you don't want a girlfriend, I mean, that was the exciting time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, call up and say, you know what I'm gonna do to you tonight, man. Shoot, you make that call at 11 o'clock. See what happens when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
She be asleep.
Yeah.
Back to reality, fella. She'd be asleep.
well, I don't know. You need to charge something up, bro.
Yeah. I'm just saying, mine gets up too early in the morning for that. I mean,
a
true one, you know, I heard something from a woman a long time ago. And they always said that this is what you can know about a woman. This is how they compare men. They don't compare by size or whatever, but they compare by what you do to them. If you can make them ooh more than once. So if you can't make them ooh, don't try to call them 11, because they're going to be like, I'm asleep. But that man who can make them ooh, you can call 3-4 in the morning, and they got up and took a bath and had breakfast ready, wait for you, door open when you come in. Come on in. And it doesn't matter. No, she got to get up in an hour to go to work.
Yeah, but are you gonna marry the one that, you know what I mean, that late night 4 o'clock in the morning booty call?
But that's what your wife is. That's what we were just talking about, just having that all three. If you can have that all three, if you're in good terms with your wife, even though she's mad, she'll roll over.
Hey, it might have to be 9 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you understand that your wife can be, you know what, there ain't no woman in the world can do more for you than your wife.
Legally.
Legal.
And it's legal.
That's,
it's legal. Look,
okay.
It's legal on all aspects. Legal.
That's right. Ain't nothing. And you know what? And you can, you know, when you have that relationship where you can be open and trust, you can have much more enjoyment than some chick you just met.
Yeah. Yeah. Us as guys, we will buy a 1957, 67 automobile. Something that somebody just
drove into the ground. We'll buy it, fix it up, polish it, clean it, replace all the parts on it, do all that stuff, and love it. But we got to be the same guy when it comes to our marriage, when our marriage starts falling, you know, into boredom.
Yep.
You know, instead of going out and trying to get something different, we got to revamp that thing.
Because that different thing, even if you got it, it's going to end up to be the same old thing.
Same old thing.
So y'all talking about pimp my wife.
Man, this is good, y'all, and it's 11 o'clock. And I got one more for the evening. And then after this, we can continue this conversation or we can go to open mic. Last question for myself for the evening is it harder for a man to regain trust back from their wife, or is it harder for a woman to regain that trust back?
The man.
Woman.
On the surface, a man, but really a woman.
A woman.
Because a man, generally, he ain't going to stick around.
Yep.
He'll be like, oh, you did what with Joe? Oh, no.
I'm out.
Gone.
A guy starts thinking about some other dude rolling on his woman. That's a difficult one for him to handle.
Yeah. We got a track record as a species of cheaters.
Okay.
In the back of their mind, they're like, he might cheat on me. But we don't ever feel that way about our women because our ego's too strong.
That's right. See, because that's a different deal. Okay. For a dude, I mean, you have attacked his manhood.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, a woman isn't particularly thinking about beating down that woman that slept with her man. But a dude be like, "Where is that Negro? I've been in both situations.
Yeah,
and that's a hard one to swallow. Thinking about a dude boning your wife.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth.
You
okay.
Think about it when you trying to, you know, rekindle that fire, you still think about it.
You be thinking about, you know, Long Dawn Silver.
Yeah, you can't get that vision out of your head.
You just can't get it out of your head.
That's a bad vision right there, brother.
So, dude on the surface would have a much difficult time, okay? But a woman, see, a woman's much, much, much easier to say, okay, we can work it out.
I mean, it's society as a whole, though, because, I mean, what do they say about men? What do women say about men?
Men are dogs.
We dogs.
All men are dogs. You don't hear men saying that about women.
Most women in the back of their mind are thinking, this Negro's going to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, most dudes aren't thinking my woman's a hoe.
No. They it's just when and where. That's all it is with them. How long do I have before he cheats?
Because we as
like
men,
a ticking time bomb.
We as men have that attitude of, you know, if I lay it down right, she ain't going nowhere.
Exactly.
I ain't got to worry about nothing.
I lay down the wood, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Okay? And it's hardly ever the situation that the man ain't laying down the wood.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay? Okay, the problem is he hadn't satisfied her emotions, her heart, her needs.
Yep.
Women's needs have nothing to do with what's between their legs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And guys think, well, man, I mean, all these goofy commercials. Hey, you know, with Extends, I grew an extra inch. And, man, I'm happy. And we got a great relationship. That's the dumbest thing you have no plan. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, hey. Hey, Rodney, does it matter if you're 11 inches or 12?
I'm 12, so, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. That extra inch don't matter, does it? Hey, man, I told the girl one time I was going to hit her with 18 inches, even if I hit her with 2 inches 9 times.
Ha 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 ha!
my brother's got to pray for me.
That's good.
That's crazy. But somebody say yes. Can somebody who thought different, can they explain this?
Yes?
Yeah, somebody said, you know, that it was the woman. No, that was the man. One person said it was a man, but then somebody said it was a woman.
It's definitely the woman, but go ahead. Who said it was a man? I don't know.
Well, I don't know who said it was a man.
Roger, we get past that, man. We get past it. There's very few brothers that don't get past it, but we normally get past that. We can get past, okay, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
Our egos, I mean, see, I think we're our own worst enemy in dealing with infidelity with our women because our egos won't let us get past it.
Yep.
Cause
and no matter how much you say, yeah, I love her, she's a good provider, she's this, that vision.
That's right.
That vision
will kill you. Some other nigga rolling on your stuff.
That vision will kill you, man. We can't take that vision.
No, we can't.
You know?
Can you imagine, you know, you sitting there and you think some other Negro rolling on your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she coming home to you.
That's
that
right.
Now,
you'll be straight up ready to beat somebody.
Yeah, that's a situation going to happen.
Yeah.
But see, here's the whole thing about that also, is that there is no going forward unless you sit down and you come to a not an understanding, but like I said, you forgive, but you still have to address it.
You got that right.
You know, you forgive, but you got to address it, because if you just forgive and there's no addressing, then it's going to be always there.
Now, there's got to be some serious changing and some serious numbers laid out.
I'm going to forgive you, I'm going to address it, and then I'm going to get a new address.
But you know what? Y'all ran right into the conclusion.
Well, before you go into the conclusion, I got a question to ask you, Tony. Okay?
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that everything can be forgiven except for that.
Yes. No. I did say I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to forgive you for whatever you were going through when you did it. But I got to go. And I'm saying that now because I'm not currently in that situation. Because we can talk a lot of trash when we're not in the situation.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Coming through that situation, it's a totally different picture.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's very hard coming through that situation. And the only thing that's going to get you through that situation, like I said, is that conversation, interaction towards, hey, let's figure out what the heck happened to get there.
Right.
So we can make sure it doesn't go back.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. One thing, and I want to address this before you wrap it up, P-Town, is that this. My ex-wife said, if you ever cheat on me, I will leave you. The problem with that is, it's easy to say that, but if you take that stand, you leave no way out if a person falls into adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then they cannot come and be honest and open up, because you already know if I tell you this has happened, you're going to leave. And that's what happened to me. Now, of course, hey, everything in the dark comes to light. And I went through the 2.5-3 years of beating the hell out of me. So I've been through the whole gamut. And I'm telling you, today, I don't believe there's nothing that we can't work through.
Yeah, but you're not with that person anymore. And
when
it happened to me, I'm not with that person anymore either.
I understand that.
Well,
but to make the blanket statement, to say, if you ever do this, this is going to end, and we can never recover from this, I believe is saying, you know, is laying down a situation that you know.
Right.
If you lay that kind of
law out there, then there is no coming back from, because one, that individual that fell is never going to come out and admit it, nor are they going to seek any help to try and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Sure.
Right. Because the last thing they been back to do is for it to be out and open.
Yeah.
Because there's no possibility of coming back. And if you said if you ever do this, this will end our marriage, and there's no need for us to do anything else. If you ever fall in this way, you know, just keep on walking.
Yeah.
And that's I think that causes, because it caused me issues to be able to, you know, I couldn't, you know, I had to keep the lie up because I knew what was going to happen.
You said now, you had to keep the lie up?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, when you were doing
it. Because I didn't want the marriage to end. Most dudes that get in, you know, get into adultery don't want to end the marriage.
Wait a minute.
People,
hold on. I'm confused. Are we still talking about her doing it, or are you talking about you doing it?
I'm talking about me doing it.
Oh, well, that's a whole different ball game.
Wow.
I'm just saying that's a whole different ball game. Then you'd have to go to her for forgiveness.
That's right.
But
when
still,
you make that when you say if this ever happens, the marriage will end. There's no way back from this sin. This is the unforgivable sin, is what you're saying.
No, listen.
You're saying I can forgive you, but we can't be married.
I've been there and done that. For me, that is a very difficult task.
I understand that.
And.
But it's not impossible.
You're lying to yourself. Because I did it. I lied to myself saying, okay, it's not a big deal. I did it. She did it. Okay, it's all good. We're cured now. We're moving toward. No.
It is a big deal. And it's a very difficult situation. But it's not impossible.
Right. Here's the thing. It's a difficult situation in any denomination, whether it be you or her.
Yes.
But it's not a situation that you can't come back from.
Right.
I stand as a witness to that one because I've been married 18 years now.
Yeah.
And it was hard to get through, but got through it.
Sure. Sure.
So, you know, to say that, you know, if this happens, then keep stepping, you know, then that brings to the thought process of what is it that you are really, you know, where do you stand at? You know what I'm saying?
The question you got to ask yourself, if you're going to hold somebody to that standard, what if God said that to you? What if God said, if you do this, that's it. There's no coming back. There's no repentance and there's no forgiveness.
No, but see, we're missing the point.
You don't have to leave, but you got to get up on out of here.
We've already addressed the forgiveness. You will get a forgiveness from me, for sure.
Okay.
Okay.
But see, you say you can.
You will be forgiven.
Get up out of here. Whoa.
You will be forgiven, but this thing that we call marriage is no longer.
Okay, but does that mean that you can't?
Then that means you truly ain't forgave.
That's right.
No.
The marriage that you have.
That doesn't mean that at all.
Wait. The marriage that you have definitely, I believe, is over. But does that mean you've got to divorce this woman and move on?
Hold on a second. I can forgive my crackhead cousin for taking my money. Right? But that don't mean I'm going to lend the money again. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you don't have to forgive someone and stay there. Mm-mm. You address it, you forgive, and you say, yeah, but, you know, I'm not going to go through that.
Okay. I just have been in a situation where those absolutes have been called.
Yes.
And what it did for me was it put me in a situation that I had no outs but to continue to try to hold the line instead of, okay, this is what happened. And okay, it was wrong, and let us get to a point that we can start to build something new. And what it did for me, because of those absolutes, if you ever do this, this will happen.
Yeah, but listen, okay, now I understand exactly what you guys are saying. There is no absolute with me. I'm not saying that to anyone. There's no conversation about, okay, if you cheat on me, I'm leaving you. No, there's none of that because the conversation of cheating isn't coming up. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not putting anybody on notice. I'm just saying if it does go down that way, I will forgive you, but I got to do something different.
Well, that's the bottom line. Have you guys ever had that conversation with your wife? Because I definitely have.
And guess what? My wife feels exactly that way.
If you ever do that, keep on stepping.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, man. There's no room for error with her when it comes to that. None. Zero.
I hear what you're saying, and in that situation, and unfortunately, because, you know, I was in that situation, it was a situation of, you know, there was no coming back.
Yes.
My wife and I have had that conversation on many occasions, and this is what we have gotten to. There's nothing that we won't be able to overcome with the love of Christ. Now, both of us having been through those situations, it's not worth it to go through that. We don't want to go through that. It will be a total destruction of our marriage as we know it. So it's not worth it. But there's nothing that we can't get through with the love and forgiveness of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, there's so many other things that come into play before that would happen. Either you've lost the will to fight, or you're just sneaky and you want to have your cake and eat it too. One or the other. Or you're just selfish. One or the other. But if you're in it to win it, then there should be a mountain of conversations that should have taken place, counseling, all kind of things, marriage maintenance, all kind of things that should have taken place before the infidelity. And if
so
that was your only resort.
But you and I both know you can see some hot thing be in a bad place, and all of a sudden your sucker starts to rise.
Yeah, but for me, for me it's different. That don't work on me. I've been that guy. I can't go back to being him.
But understand.
Because it didn't work for me.
Guy, I've been that guy, but some guys haven't been that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't understand that, you know, a nice little, you know, hot little piece of, you know what,
yeah,
it's not worth the payment.
No.
See, for me, it comes down to it's not worth it. Okay? Because I've been there.
Yeah.
All right? Look, hey, you look hot. It looks great. It could be fun. And you know what? It will be wonderful. It'd be great. All right? But you see, I know the result of it, and it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Been there, done that, got the T-shirt and the legal bill. It's not worth it for a piece of ass.
So let me ask the question back to you, Andrew. When is a marriage truly over?
I think a marriage is truly over when the trust is broken.
Because of?
Well, there's several different things, but definitely infidelity can destroy a trust in a marriage. And I believe that infidelity ends a marriage.
Okay.
Now, that
That's
doesn't
what I've
mean
been saying.
And I believe that if there's infidelity in a marriage, you need a new wife, and she needs a new husband. Now, that doesn't mean...
That doesn't mean that it has to be James now, the new husband. It just means that the new you
has to be built. It can be the
yeah.
same.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it can't be because we have someone on the phone that obviously have had some success with it. And I would like to be that person. I just don't think that I could be. Where after that happens, then I'm like, okay, well, let's just try to work at this and let's try, you know, and try to find out what went wrong. You know, I may be wrong. Again, I'm not currently in that situation, so I'm speaking from someone.
Right.
Then I may be a totally different guy. I might be like, well, you know
right.
what, maybe we can get through it.
As a man, we stand up first and we say, nah, there's no way if it happens,
I'm done, I'm walking off, I'm through with it. But when you actually find yourself in that situation and you go to evaluate, when you evaluate what you have and what you're losing, then it's a lot of thoughts involved in that.
Yeah.
So do you think it's a double standard? Do you think it's a double standard that a woman can be forgiving, can be very forgiving, you know, about the things that you do wrong, and she can get past it, but yet we as men, we have difficulty getting past it because we're thinking about some dude running up in our wife, right? But then look at the other side of it. If she wasn't, I mean, if you weren't with her all of your life, what about the people that's been there before you anyway? So what's the difference?
Ooh.
It's a difference, though. And I understand that because, she wasn't no virgin when she got here. I understand all that.
Well, that's before, though.
But we take ownership.
That's before you.
Yeah, we kind of take ownership in those marriage papers. Okay, this is mine.
Yeah, we take ownership once we said you be my girlfriend from that point on to engagement on.
You can go out and do different. And you can run up in some woman and you can go down on her and do all the other things, but yet you want to come home and you want your wife to kiss you, right?
Look, we ain't disputing that, brother. There is definitely a double standard. It always has been. It always has been.
It always has been a double standard.
You know, deal on a point of ego, and they don't. 9 times out of 10, they're just emotional. We're mostly ego-driven when it comes down to that.
Yeah, you're thinking about her going down on somebody else, but yes, you did the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a problem.
It's a problem.
it's a huge problem.
But what happens when you didn't go down on somebody else, but she did?
Hey.
What happens when you ride that on the right side of the road?
Get it at home.
Hey.
Other man is getting it, and you can't even get that at home.
And you can't even get it at home. Somebody else getting it between the hours of 9 and 5, and you can't get it at night.
Yes, it means that somewhere along the line, somebody dropped the ball and somebody else hit it.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Keep the game going. Now it's time to go find a new game to play.
You know what I'm saying?
Keep playing that game.
Somebody dropped the soap.
See, the one thing about cheating is a game.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, the person that you're cheating with, it's not the act of cheating. It's the game that they got somebody else's property.
Of course.
When you're no longer somebody else's property, they don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
You mean you left your wife? Well, ain't nobody told you to leave your wife.
And 9 times out of 10, we cheat because of the things that we're not getting home that we were familiar with before.
Yeah. For sure.
Basement time.
Or some people are just greedy. Rodney asked a question on the other call. If a person could cheat and be guaranteed to get away with it, would they do it?
Remember
that question, Rodney?
You remember that.
And one guy said, yes, I'll do it. If I'm guaranteed to get away with it.
Back in the day,
at the end of the day, it wouldn't be worth it. How long could you keep the lie up?
Well, now.
What would happen was she'd get pissed off at you because Valentine's Day came and you were with your wife.
What
day is this? The 15th?
Yeah.
This is when you're supposed to take the mistress out for Valentine's?
I think that's the 13th.
Yeah, 15.
I forgot the day. I heard it on the radio. I never know it. They actually got a name for it today. Or on the 13th.
The rules have changed for a lot of us, though.
Yeah.
The rules have changed for a lot of us, and now it's not, you know, we have to, I mean, this is just my thing. We got to be careful of the things we continue to take into our prayer closet. And if we keep going back with the saying, I understand that, you know, we all have struggles. But certain things I don't want to take in there. Infidelity is definitely on the top of the list of one of the things I don't want to take in my prayer closet, even though I know that's where I would have to take it. But, you know, I know that this woman came from God. I already know that because it's been proven to me. And for me to turn around and disrespect something that he hand-delivered to me.
Oh, man.
You follow me? Is more powerful than even her finding out. You see what I'm saying? There's no such thing as cheating in the dark because he is present all the time.
Wouldn't it just rock your world, Tony?
Yeah. I couldn't see myself getting on my knees saying, okay, God, I got something to tell you. And it'd be that.
See, once you've been there and he gives you another chance, you don't want to F it up.
And not that one. No, I ain't going like that.
I'm telling you, man, you get to a point where you realize, you know, it ain't worth it. It's just not worth it. And I hope some of y'all dudes that haven't gone down that road will hear what Tony and I are telling you. I mean, yeah, it's exciting, it's thrilling, but it ain't worth it.
Yeah, it's not about the wife. With me, it's not about my wife.
You gotta face God and say, "This is what I've done."
Exactly.
And you gave me another chance, and I effed it up again.
I'm not ready to have that conversation.
You and I both, man. And see that, you know, it's not worth it. I don't care how fat she is.
Mm-mm.
It's just
you know, you've been there. I've been there. See,
okay. At the end of the day. See, the second or third Valentine's Day, okay, I mean, the first one, they go, oh, I understand you married. But the second and third, they start getting pissed. It ain't worth
right.
it.
That's right. The easiest
okay.
thing to do
to
is juggle. The easiest thing to do is juggle three, four, five women. That's easy. But to juggle one, think about that. Think how hard it is for us to juggle just one.
Mm.
It's just not worth it, man.
Just one. Knowing that that's your only. Imagine if you're a quarterback and you only got one receiver to throw to.
I'm gonna tell you what. I'd rather be in the basement for a year now than play that game.
Play that game.
Because at the end of the day, it's just not worth it.
No.
I've been there. I've done it, and it's not worth it.
I'd have to be out the marriage. Long gone out of the marriage.
I'd be like,
before
okay.
that can happen.
See, and that's spoken from two dudes that's been there and done that.
Yep. And then, Andrew, we can't even be out the marriage. Think about what I'm going to say. We can't even be out the marriage before the cheating goes on or before the next relationship goes on because then you won't have an excuse. If there's
that's
no infidelity going on, you ain't got no excuse to be out the marriage.
You got no excuse to be out unless they just walked out on you.
Unless they just walked out on you.
And just walked out.
Hey, Andrew.
Deep, man.
Andrew.
Yo.
I can show you every crack and crevice in my old basement, man.
David B, my boy. That's my boy, y'all. Hey, Brian. Brian,
hey.
What you say? I'm going to get me some snacks.
Hey, that's right.
Keeping it real. That's the truth, man.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Yeah.
It is what it is, man.
It is what it is. You'd have taught us all something, brother, on this call.
That's right. I just hope I could be strong like that. And I don't want that situation to happen to anybody. But you know what? At the end of the day, it ain't worth having to go out there to get a piece of snack.
No.
Right.
At the end of the day, what is it?
Not working, man.
That's all it is. It's a temporary letdown.
Yes, yeah, right. I mean, I'd rather be Marcus.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I'd rather have my five girlfriends.
You need help. It is.
I tell you what's a killer, right? So what's a killer? Remember when you go out and you would finally hit that piece that you've been trying to get for the longest, and then you washing up in the mirror looking at yourself smiling. Got that thing. It's that mirror, right? That mirror. You looking in that mirror, washing up in the sink like, yes, I finally got that thing. But that same mirror that you looking at when you washing up after in that hotel room from cheating with your wife, it's a whole different person you're looking at in that mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like it's a whole different person right there. You, matter of fact, you might look away from the mirror.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get drunk.
Look away, man. I can't believe I just... Because that's the worst orgasm. When
it
you
got
to go home,
you
and your wife's like, I cannot believe I just hit that.
I can't believe I did this again.
But what you end up trying to do is justify, you know. You know, they got a song, blame it on the alcohol. You know, hey, alcohol made me do it, or something made me do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, my wife made me do it. How about that one? You ain't got to blame my... Just blame it on her. Because that's what most people do. That's what I did with my last marriage. I blamed it on my wife. I forgot all the bad stuff that I did. I pushed that all to the side, and I took all of her shortcomings and put it all on that. And that's how I justified cheating.
How well did that work for Adam?
It didn't work at all. He still got kicked out.
That's right. The woman you gave me wasn't me. It was her. And you gave it to me, so it was you too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my hope and prayer is that doesn't happen to anybody. But my hope and prayer is that we got the strength to look at every crack in the basement.
Yeah. For sure.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you that we understand that this ain't about us. And it's about honoring God and say, look, God, okay, I'm tired of dropping the ball. You know, when you get tired of dropping the ball, you know, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you what, man. You know, it is tough to be a man out there, especially a man of God, because women are throwing it at you.
Yeah. You got a mark in your chest.
That's exactly right. They be talking about, oh, I wish you had a brother just like you. And you'd be like, if I was still out there, I would be banging that ass left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm going to tell you what, man. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to be a man of God in a world like this.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of women that will throw it at you. You know, when you're 17, you can't buy a piece. Okay? You'll be begging for it. You'll be doing all kind of stuff. Okay? But you get to be in your 40s. You get established. You got a purpose for your life. You're moving ahead. Man, women begging for you to take that snatch. Begging for you to take the snatch.
Yeah.
I don't care about the ring
on your finger or nothing.
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you what. It is a hard. I'm going to tell you what. Satan's throwing them, because that's my weakness, man. They be thinking, like, yeah, okay. And I'd be looking at them. Damn, she's fat to death. We still recording this?
Yeah.
I'd be like,
told me to hold on.
That's it. Me and my boy B, we'd be like, damn, you see that? I'd be like, yeah, man. And I said, man, back in the day, that'd be hurt. Yeah.
That's the truth.
You know, am I lying, Brian?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Be like, back in the day, she'd be wobbling. She'd be staggering.
Yes, indeed. But this is good. And since we get ready to get some deep and deep, let me go and cut this recorder off. I don't want anybody to get in trouble.
Hey, if it was up to me, you can leave it on all the time.
Yeah, I don't care about it.
But listen, I have to say thanks again for tuning in to another www.householdstress.com virtual talk show for married men. It was great. We made it through another night. We do have another one next week already. Rodney, what is it?
Digital addiction, obsessed with technology.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you have it. So there you have it. So, right now?
That's that Facebook, y'all. Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm ending the call, and we keep on talking.